This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is the 8th program of this series. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from the Mount Zion Road. And all are welcome to our services. For the program today, you may want to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I want to dwell with some words in the latter part of that verse. It's where Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." To begin with, I want to focus on those words that Jesus used when he said, "my church." It is interesting, if you can, and really it's not too hard to do, but if you can, to go back to the Greek language from which this is translated. I was reading out of the King James Version, and of course that puts the words of Christ in English. But Matthew gave us these words in Greek. And there is a book that you can get, or a program you can pull up online if you wish to, and it will show the Greek words on one line. And immediately under it, it will show the English words. Now, it is difficult to translate word for word in the word order that the Greek has, because it often comes out sounding quite awkward in English, the way they structure their sentences in the old Greek that Matthew used is different than the way we structure our sentences in English today. And so sometimes that can be very difficult. But yet, by looking at that, it sometimes shows us a little bit of more exactness of what Jesus said. If you look at this in a Greek interlinear and look at the Greek words that are translated, "I will build my church," it has what Jesus is saying is this. In the Greek order of words, "I will build of me the church." Now, that sounds awkward in English, but if you rearrange the words just a little bit, you can have it very literal and it not sound quite so awkward. "I will build the church of me." That is what Christ said. And so the King James translation, "I will build my church," is a good translation of those words from the Greek into English. But look at the exactness of "I will build the church of me." When he's saying "the church of me," since this is Christ speaking, he's saying, "I will build the church of Christ." Why, it is his church. There were those that were saying, when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Some said he was John the Baptist, and others said he was Elias, and others says he was Jeremiah. But Jesus did not say, "I will build the church of John the Baptist." He did not say, "I will build the church of Elijah." He did not say, "I will build the church of Jeremiah." He said, "I'll build the church of me." That means he was going to build the church of Christ. There's a sign in the front of our meeting house at Rock Cliff that have these words on it: "The Church of Christ." We call ourselves the Church of Christ because we want to identify with the churches of Christ in the New Testament. In the closing words of his letter to the church at Rome, Paul wrote this: "The churches of Christ salute you." Romans 16:16. We want to be one of those churches and identify with those churches. In the New Testament, this church is sometimes called the Church of God. If I have counted correctly, as I looked up the references to the Church of God, I count at least 8 times where the church that Jesus built is called the Church of God. The first time that this church is called the Church of God is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul is talking to the elders of the church from Ephesus who had come to Miletus. And Paul says this: "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice that last part very carefully. He's talking about the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The he and the his are pronouns that refer back to God. Now, it was not God the Father who shed his blood for the church. Neither is it God the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God the Son, who purchased the church with his blood. Now, I know that there are some who do not believe that Jesus was God. They say he was a created being or just a man that became a great prophet or something of this sort. But Paul here affirms that Jesus is God. He was God in the flesh. And being a flesh and blood, he had blood to shed. And that blood was shed on the cross. And so we see it was God the Son that purchased the church with his own blood. That makes Jesus God. And that makes the church of God, in Acts 20 and verse 28, the church of Christ. In the New Testament, the words churches of Christ, like Romans 16:16, they're not used as a denominational name for part of God's church. Neither are these words used as a formal name to distinguish this church as a denomination among denominations. When we are reading the New Testament, we know that we're not reading about any particular denomination. We're simply reading about the church that Jesus built. However, today, when people see the Church of Christ, they often see these words as another name of another denomination. And that is unfortunate. The Church of Christ in the New Testament was not a denomination. There wasn't even any denominations of that time. This is pre-denominational, before there were denominations. When you see these words today, they are not usually identifying a denomination either. Most of the time, the words Church of Christ on a sign at a meeting house refer to the Christians who assemble in that meeting house for worship and fellowship. They assemble as an independent congregation that has no denominational affiliation. That is what churches of Christ were in the New Testament. And that is what churches of Christ are today. Those who hear me preach know that I sometimes remind those listening of one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Israel on Mount Sinai. The commandment is this: Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Reflecting on that commandment and the gist of that in principle is readily inferred from teachings in the New Testament. So what does it mean to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? Well, we might think of swear words that people use when they use the word of God in uttering an expletive that they should not say. And certainly that is no way to use God's word. Another way people would take the name of the Lord in vain, and probably more directly what this commandment is referring to, is when people call upon God in making an oath. Now, if you promise something and invoke the Lord's name in making an oath, then you need to follow through on your vow. For if you do that and you don't follow through on your vow, well, you are taking the name of the Lord, the God, in vain. It doesn't mean anything. And so I'll talk to the church where that assemble there at Rockcliffe, and I'll point out the door toward that sign that is down by the road that says Church of Christ, and I will say, we have Church of Christ on the sign on the outside. And we know from the teachings of the Bible that we are not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. If we say we are a Church of Christ on the sign outside, then we need to make sure that is who we are when we assemble on the inside. You see, we can be a Church of Christ just like they were churches of Christ in the New Testament. The way to do that is to come together the way they came together, to worship the way they worshiped, to teach the things that they taught, and to do the things that they did. On the day of Pentecost, those that gladly received the words of Peter were baptized into Christ, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And you go on down to the last verse of Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. It says, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. They were added to the church when they were baptized to be saved. It will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Coming up out of that water, God now counts us as one of His. We're one of the called out. He adds us to His church. And then we can assemble just like they did and be a local assembly, a local congregation, one of the churches, assemblies of Christ. By doing that. Now, in the New Testament, no one that was baptized was ever told to now go join some denomination. No, this church was pre-denominational in that there was no denominations to join. They would simply assemble together with other Christians that had become obedient to the gospel and worship according to the Lord's instructions. And that's what constituted a church of Christ. Now, we can do the same thing today. We can be baptized into Christ and assemble together in His name and worship and never be part of a denomination. Those words, Church of Christ, are appealing because they honor Christ. But greater than the honor we give Christ by putting His name in the words on a sign out in front of the building is the honor that we give to Christ when we honor His authority in the way that we live and worship. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What we do in the name of Christ, we do by the authority of Christ. That which does not have the authority and the approval of Christ cannot be done in the name of Christ. The apostles and prophets of the New Testament were given the Holy Spirit that they could teach us all things that Christ commanded. Matthew 28 in verse 20, when He's giving the Great Commission, He says to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, these teachings are written and documented in the New Testament. In giving all diligence to do all things by the authority of the New Testament, we do all things in the name of Christ. And that is why we identify ourselves as the Church of Christ. I want you to notice, too, what this passage says. Upon this rock I will build my church. That means the church had not been built yet. Some have the idea that John the Baptist built the church, but John was already dead when Christ said this, and the church had not yet been built. Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, among those that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now this shows that John was not in the kingdom as he lived, and yet there would be those that would be in the kingdom greater than he. Well, the kingdom is the church, as we'll see in a future program on this, from this particular passage. And so when we're added to the church, we become citizens of His kingdom. And that was yet in the future. It's going to be on the day of Pentecost where we see the birth of the Church of Christ. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You may email me or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. You can text me at that address. I prefer the text. wmhboyd@aol.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.